This week on Audacity, I spoke to Mandla Sebeko, who is the person behind Joburg Art Fair, as well as BMW Art Generation. As a collector, he has also made a huge impact, but his impact extends far beyond collection to also curating events that really help to highlight the significance of art and the lifestyle. Mandla, I've seen you over the years.
Yeah.
You wear so many different hats. I mean, obviously F&B Art Joburg, then with BMW Young Collectors. But today I want to chat to you as a fellow collector.
Yep.
About your journey. Sure. As an art collector. How did that all start?
Well, actually, when I look back, the art fair itself, the F&B Art Fair, was actually where my journey started. I remember very well that there's a friend of mine who had introduced the Paul Smith store in Johannesburg, in Parkhurst. Mm-hmm. Had this massive, beautiful store that was in almost like heritage building and had a little bit of art. And I really asked him to introduce me to the space. And I said to him, will you take me with me? And I walked into this space and I was like, wow, it was an art fair. And I was completely inspired, completely blown away. And I think from that time onwards, I started to engage with sort of the art community. I met quite a seasoned curator at the time who was introducing me to art and artists. And I started buying artists as, you know, who were not really from galleries, actually, funny enough, at the time. And then and I somehow got to learn about the art ecosystem, and I started going to galleries and buying interesting artists. Yeah, and that's really how I got into it. It was really out of just, but also I was traveling around the world, especially in the lead up to the 2010 World Cup, because I was involved in the sort of dressing up the cities, the look and feel for FIFA. And I was exhausted after the World Cup, and I needed like to take time out because it had been such an intense build up. As you can imagine, we hosted this thing and then it was like, wow, what do I do now? And then I took this break and I started traveling. And then when I got to like Europe, I was so in love with this, just the contemporary scene of what I was seeing versus what I was used to. Because in the early days, I would go to like museums and I found them to really showcase master artists, nothing really contemporary. And I was like, wow, I want to be involved in something that's very contemporary about Johannesburg. So to a point where when I was traveling for business, I would make sure that when the art fair took place in Joburg, I was there because I felt like I drew so much inspiration from that scene.
And it is amazing with contemporary African artists. I think the privilege there is that we get to know the artists.
Yep.
So we go on these journeys with them.
Yep.
Which artists have you had a journey with over the years since you started your art career?
Well, I sit in a very interesting position because I often say to people that I get to experience the biggest collection of art in one room. Over a period of time.
Yes.
So for me, there are so many artists that I've gone on a journey with, and just to see them. In fact, being here today, I look back, I was just talking about Kudzinai and looking at the kind of work he was painting when I got into the art ecosystem then, when I even started buying art. And to look at what he does now, which is completely different. To look at Asmatle's work, which was really beading. These are the earlier works of her, just earlier in her career, and to now doing what she's doing now and only now getting international attention. So, you know, there are so many great artists like that I followed. That you know, there's Nandi Pamdambo, who was phenomenal, was completely blown away by her practice already in those days. That how is it that a young Black woman could do something, use such material that's so complex to tell a story.
Yes.
Zanele Muholi, as an example, when I first, collected her work. And just so many of them, actually, when I look back. For me, it's great because at the time when I kind of got into the art ecosystem, not a lot of them had an international profile. People like Ikshan Adams, who's in my collection, had just a year or two before he won the Standard Bank Art Prize. And he wasn't really an international artist. He was a very young artist who was using incredible material, but incredible storytelling behind his work. So just to have seen where they are now, I'm completely inspired. Like people like Robin Road is who's actually a personal friend. Just to see him break through the ceilings, not just globally as an artist who was not just only put in a box as an African artist, but now becoming an international artist and really living his dream is unbelievable, given that I understood where he came from and how many of the journeys of some of these artists. For me, it's always the one thing that really drives me as a source of inspiration when I look back to their journeys and say, wow, look at Dada Khanyisa as an example. The work that Dada's, that she makes. And I'm like, wow, what a journey.
You know, what's interesting for me that you mentioned Robin.
Yep.
I met him for the first time at your art fair. And
did you meet him in Joburg?
I had no idea who he was.
Like, where's he from?
I had no idea who he is.
And now you know exactly what he does.
And that's to me so important. I think he's probably coming back this year as well because he's doing an exhibition
And
so for me, it's so important that we tell these stories. For example, I really think it's amazing how our kids will grow up knowing
absolutely
of these artists.
In fact, Ikshan's early work was of that that floor carpet thing
the
that he was
just praying carpets. Yeah. Yes,
that's where he started. Yes. You know, and then when you look at what he, for me, what was really incredible about Ikshan was that I could relate to his story of how we have so much in common between all the different identities and cultures in South Africa. I said to him, you know, Ikshan, my grandmother had the same thing in a township in the East Rand in Katlehong. I don't know how it got there, but I just remember this thing.
It's more that unites us than divides us. I think that
completely,
to me,
completely.
When I look at his work with the dust clouds from the rim dances, the dances in the Northern Cape, you also realize then it's so beautiful that he uses his language, his expression, to express who he is as an African. And as part of the bigger ecosystem, we all understand again, we might be different tribes, cultures, we all are connected.
Completely. And the unique thing about African artists and South African artists is exactly that. When I travel around the world, I do not get that feeling that I get about African artists, especially South African arts, art ecosystem. And also, I think the art ecosystem in South Africa hasn't been given the recognition that it deserves. It's miles ahead. It's miles ahead of fashion. African fashion, South African fashion, but also it's miles ahead in many ways globally that it hasn't really been given the attention that it deserves. And I think South Africans need to find a way of marketing it differently in a way that the world can recognize how rich, especially when I look back and I look at the incredible talent that's come out of South Africa after 1994. And these are just young people who represent the essence of what freedom is. They're doing what they love and they're doing what they possibly can do to contribute towards really moving the nation forward.
Last night at A4, I must say this, I need to commend you on the incredible programming you do with YCC. It's been amazing to see the journey of it. There was an interesting comment made about the poverty of imagination. Do you think that we're dealing adequately with that as parents? I mean, you also have young children. How do we get our young people more excited about individuality, creativity, imagination? How do we breed more imagination and creativity within our young?
You know, when that comment was made, it made me think a lot. And I remember meeting this really incredible architect called Rem Koolhaas. And Rem Koolhaas was annoyed at a comment that was made in Europe about poor Africans. And he was like, the Africans that I engaged with when I first went to Nigeria 30 years ago were far much more talented than Europeans in his eyes. He says those kids were taking metal, drawing, doing interesting things, riding on the floor. And I started to think back to how when we, especially Black people, didn't have a lot of resources, we found ways of being creative
necessity
with very limited resources. So there must be a way that we can encourage that. I think maybe there's been so much flooding of maybe television or social media or this new culture that's very new in contemporary that is maybe taking away literally children being children and just using their hands and using their own imagination. Because as someone like Rem said that, I realized that that's how we grew up.
Yes.
We're very little, didn't have expensive toys, we had to build our own cars. We had to build our own kites. And I think that's what the lady was maybe referring to, is that they've become so caught up in their cell phones, in their mobile, that kids are not doing anything. They're just looking at their phones. And we parents need to go back to the basics and always remember that that's actually the foundation we need to bestow on our kids.
I love also with artists, I think, who was it who said that as an artist, you spend all of your adult life trying to relearn how to draw as a child? And I love looking at Olympia, Gregory Olympia, who works as well. Yeah. We need to instill that creativity in our
children. It's critical. And I think part of my fascination with art is seeing all of that. That most of that art really speaks to the issues that we are dealing with, whether it be good or bad. You know, the work really speaks to, and this generation of artists have really been dealing with such complex issues that society is not even dealing with at maybe political level, you know, and an economical level. And they deal with these issues with such flair. And I always say that give the problem to the artist, because the artist will always speak from the bottom of their hearts as it is. So they, and also such a great space to be in, because it's very democratic. There's no hierarchy in this art ecosystem. Artists are artists, and they don't care who you are, where you sit in all these kind of levers that we've placed in society. Artists are able to break through that and just be who they are.
Mandla, thank you so much for this conversation. I look forward to seeing your art fair this year.
Absolutely. We look forward to it. In fact, I look forward to it because we're going into our 18th edition.
Oh, wow.
We have been doing this for 18 years. And so it was very exciting to kind of change the model of the fair, become very much more design orientated, much more focused on quality, and really pushing to present African art in its best form. Because what I was seeing around the world was a lot of clutter, if I may say so. And I felt that if anyone has to come, they must see that these artists that we're speaking so highly of, they actually really present it in the highest form. So as we enter our 18th edition, going towards 20 years, we're maturing.
Sure. Wow.
So I look forward to this edition as well. Thank you.